hear the word of God. Exodus 22, beginning at verse 28. You shall not revile God, nor curse a ruler of your people. You shall not delay to offer the first of your ripe produce and your juices. The firstborn of your sons you shall give to me. Likewise you shall do with your oxen and your sheep. It shall be with its mother 7 days. On the eighth day you shall give it to me. And you shall be holy men to me. You shall not eat meat torn by beasts in the field. You shall throw it to the dogs. And then our New Testament reading is from 1 Peter 1. I'll tell you the verses in a moment. We'll read verses 13 through 21. Again, the word of God. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. You may be seated. The title of the message this morning is Holiness, the Family Likeness. Our text this morning is a single verse, the last verse of chapter 22 of Exodus. This is the middle chapter in the Book of the Covenant that we have been going through in this series. There's one more chapter to go when we finish today. Well, here, once again, is our text. And you shall be holy men to me. You shall not eat meat torn by beasts in the field. You shall throw it to the dogs. As we will see, this is a very important text, deserving of our attention. I have 3 points this morning. One, what does be holy men mean? Two, what is the standard of holiness? And three, can I earn salvation by being holy? First, what does be holy men mean? Holiness is an important biblical theme, occurring over 600 times. There are a lot of misconceptions about holiness. Many naively think that it has to do with dress or appearance. Think of religious groups like Orthodox Jews or the Amish, who wear distinctive clothing to set themselves apart from other groups. Or the holiness churches that teach that women should let their hair grow long and wear it in a bun and forbid the wearing of jewelry. The Bible does say that a woman should dress in modest apparel, but it does not prescribe a particular form of dress. The basic idea of holiness is apartness or separateness. God is distinct and not a part of his creation. He is wholly other. Holy there with a W. Wholly other, not made of the stuff of creation. Morally, he is separate from sin. We are taught that Christ, our great high priest, is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Hebrews 7:26. Real holiness and innocency are found in Christ alone. Now, why does the scripture say, we're going to return to this verse a few times throughout the sermon this morning, but why does the scripture say that Christ is separate from sinners? Are we not all sinners? And we might wonder, what does that mean, that he's separate from sinners? It's not because he doesn't want to intermingle with us, his people, but because he, unlike us, is perfect and pure and free from every defect. The only way that we can be reckoned holy in the sight of a holy God, the only way that we can have fellowship with God, is through Christ's righteousness imputed to us. How do we receive that? Through faith alone. Even as Scripture says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Romans 4:3. Thank God that truth is in the Bible. Without it, we have no hope. So God says, ye shall be holy, for I am holy. There I slipped into the King James idiom. Ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Leviticus 11:44. What is holiness? With respect to God's holiness, words fail us to give us an exhausting definition. I don't mean exhausting. I just said exhaustive is what I have in my notes. Words fail us to give it an exhaustive definition. God is infinite. We cannot fully define his holiness. We have a little bit of a glimpse of what it is, but there's still so much to learn. An English dictionary defines holy as perfect in goodness and righteousness. And that's not a bad definition. Indeed, the one living and true God who reveals himself in Holy Scripture is perfect. He is perfect in goodness and righteousness. God's standard is absolute perfection. This is what God requires of every human being. This is the standard to which man must attain in order to enter heaven. Can you honestly say that you are perfect in goodness and righteousness? No, none of us can say that. Since you are not, since I am not, you and I need our sins to be washed away in the blood of Christ. We need his perfect goodness and righteousness credited to our account. For fallen sons and daughters of Adam, perfect experiential holiness awaits the consummation. But in the meantime, our hope and trust must rest in Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen. So our text says, you shall be holy men to me. What does be holy men mean? The English Standard Version paraphrases it as, you shall be consecrated to me. Now, that statement, while true, doesn't bring out all the nuance in the original. The original is much more interesting and very telling. The Hebrew has literally, men of holiness you shall be. I'm sorry, men of holiness to me ye shall be. If you're taking notes, write down that short phrase. That's the literal Hebrew word order. That's exactly what all those words mean. Men of holiness you shall be. And there I messed it up again. Men of holiness to me. That's important. Men of holiness to me you shall be. Well, there are two basic words for man in Hebrew. There are others as well that aren't used as often. But there's the word Adam. It sounds a lot like Adam, the first man, and that's intentional. The name of the first man is Adam, man. That word is closely related to another pretty common word, Adama, the feminine of it, meaning ground or land. That also is used a lot in the scriptures. It's also related to Edom. In Hebrew, it's Edom, and it means red. So it is a fitting word. Adam is a fitting word for man. And when I say man, I mean all of us, men and women. It says in the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. He uses the word Adam there, and he includes male and female. So it's important to point that out. All of us are Adam. The word is used about 560 times in the Bible. It's used a lot. So this is a fitting word for man who is made out of the good red dust of the ground. That's how we understand that word. The other basic word for man is ish. Sounds a little bit like ish, like you might say if you're smelling something that doesn't smell very good. But it's actually ish. And this means man opposite woman. In other words, male or husband. Now, this too is a very common word, actually more common than Adam. This is used over 2,100 times. Very, very common word throughout the Old Testament. It's amazing. This is the word that's used in our text right here. That might surprise you. This is the word that God uses. Men of holiness to me ye shall be. Notice the predicate is fronted. The emphasis is not on the future tense, shall be, perhaps becoming sometime in the sweet by and by or whenever we get around to it. That's not the meaning here. The emphasis is on what we are to be right now, and that is men of holiness. While women are not excluded, and our New Testament text points that out as well, it's written to men and women by Peter in his first epistle. So women are not excluded here, but this is a special call to men. Men of holiness to me, ye shall be. In our day, Christianity is often seen as being a religion for women. The unspoken assumption is that men have to deny their masculinity to be followers of Christ. That Christianity is incompatible with being a real man. This verse challenges that perception. Rather, the male members of the church, and I think you know who you are, the male members of the church are to take the lead in demonstrating holiness. Let me say that again. The male members of the church are to take the lead in demonstrating holiness. Heads of families are to take the lead in demonstrating holiness. Christianity is for real men. Rise up, O men of God. The other thing to notice is the use of the plural number translated ye in the King James Version. Here is a plural command. It is to be practiced by the whole church, all of us. A plural command cannot be obeyed in solitariness. This is something that must be done in community. How different from the typical American mindset. It's all about me. Where people have their weekend plans to do their own thing, follow their own path, seek their own fulfillment. Where the church is secondary. If you understand this command and you desire to obey it and put it into practice, there is only one place where that can be done, and that is in the covenant community, the church. Let's be honest. This command is not, thou shalt be a holy man unto me, something that you can do in the privacy of your own home, but ye shall be holy men to me. This is something that can only be practiced in community, in the visible church of Jesus Christ. Of course, being holy is hard to practice. It's harder to practice in the rough and tumble of community, where you have to live with your fellow saints who may have strong ideas about things, ideas that may differ from your own, where you may have to learn the fine art of compromise, of listening, of not insisting on your own way. This is the environment where God says, ye shall be holy men to me. But before we go on to our next point, what is the meaning of the literal Hebrew, men of holiness to me shall ye be? What are men of holiness? Remember that I said that in our text this morning, the original has men of holiness. This is consistent with other common phrases used in the Hebrew Bible. Maybe some of them you are familiar with. If you've read the King James Version, you're without a doubt familiar with them. Men of renown, men of activity, men of truth, men of war, men of valor, men of understanding, and there are others as well. So what does be holy men mean? It means that God wants us to be like him. God wants us to be like him, perfect in holiness. God is perfect in holiness, and that's what he wants us to be as well. Holiness is an abstract noun. It's not physical. You can't perceive it with the senses. That doesn't make it any less real. The Bible clearly states, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14. Holiness is the fruit of true faith. If you have true faith in Jesus Christ, then holiness will be the fruit. Holiness will not be perfected in this life, but the fruit will be there. A good tree produces good fruit. Norma and I were on a walk yesterday, and we were walking in an area where we don't normally walk, and we saw a tree, and I can't remember what kind it was at this time, but anyway, we saw this tree, and rather than the ones we're used to, here's one that had a whole bunch of little buds that looked like little green beans hanging from it all over the place. And I was thinking, well, there's a tree that is alive, a tree that is producing fruit. Now, I wasn't quite ready to grab a whole bunch of those and stuff them into my mouth. Maybe the fruit is not perfect yet. Maybe it's not fully developed. Maybe it's not edible. I don't even know that. But anyway, when there's a living thing, there's going to be fruit. And when there's living spiritual life in your heart, there's going to be fruit. Holiness will be that fruit. God is separate from sin. And he wants us to be separate from sin. If we are comfortable in our sins, that is not a good thing. It may indicate that we're not truly born again, that God has not yet begun a work of grace in our hearts. So some thought questions here. Do you desire to be free from sin? To lose all interest in sin? To live your life unto God? Do you want to dedicate your life to God? To bring all your thoughts, desires, attitudes, and priorities into conformity with the mind of Christ? Make that a matter of prayer. Something like, Lord, I love you. From the bottom of my heart, I thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for my sins. Help me to grow in grace. Help me to hate my sin more and more. Help me to desire holiness and obedience more and more. Help me to gain victory over temptation. Help me to desire the glory of Christ above everything else. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, second, what is the standard of holiness? Let's take a look at the heart of our New Testament text from 1 Peter 1, where we heard these words, "As he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." Here the Apostle Peter cites Leviticus 11:44, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." The same idea is found in Leviticus 19:2. "Speak to all the congregation of Israel and say unto them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." So, be holy, for I am holy, is a command and an idea that's found multiple times in the Bible. Now, if God says something even once, man's responsibility is to obey. But if he repeats it multiple times, that fact certainly indicates its importance. So focus for a few moments on, be holy, for I am holy. God is telling you, he's telling us, be just like me. Be holy. Be holy means be like God. God is the standard of holiness. Our tendency as human beings is to compare ourselves with other people. If we do this, we can invariably make ourselves look better than we actually are. I'm not so bad. There are a lot of people worse than I am. But we are not to compare ourselves with others. We are to compare ourselves with God. The one to whom we should compare ourselves is God. If you compare yourself with God, how does that make you look? God is holy. As a matter of fact, as we saw in our call to worship this morning, and it's also in the book of Revelation, God is the thrice holy God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Isaiah 6, verse 3. Holiness is the only attribute of God, the only characteristic of God that is repeated three times in the Bible. God himself is our model, our pattern. He wants us to be holy as he is holy. Obviously, no human person measures up to that standard. It is utterly impossible. God is the font of all goodness, righteousness, and holiness. He has loved us with an everlasting love. He was under no obligation to save any of us. When man sinned, God would have been perfectly justified in sending the whole human race to hell. But this he did not do. Rather, he sent his only begotten Son, the second person of the Holy Trinity, to die in the place of sinners and give us his perfect righteousness as a free gift. He did this out of his free grace alone. That's the kind of God he is. He saves us not to gain something at our expense, but to give us something that we never could have given. Now, when another human being does something nice for us, we are right to question the person's motives. Why did he do that? Is he trying to use me? What is he trying to gain from me? What's the catch? But when the God of heaven gives us something that required the lifeblood of his only begotten Son, the one with whom he had perfect, mutually satisfying fellowship from eternity past, a gift that no mere creature could ever have given, we should recognize that here is a gift far beyond the value of any other, given just so that we could have eternal life in fellowship with him in the glories of heaven forevermore. The gift he gives is priceless and indispensable. It is the gift of life, life in fellowship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit forevermore. Life that never ends. If another human being gives us a gift, eventually it is going to break or wear out or become obsolete or be stolen or lost. But the gift that God gives is absolutely perfect and will remain so forever and ever. It is life in his Son. It will never be anything but valuable. And it is ours for the taking. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you have the Son? Is he your Lord and Savior? Have you committed your life to him eternally? Have you offered him your undying love? You'd be a fool not to. Yes, when people give us a gift, eventually it's going to break or wear out. Some of you that have been in our home know that we had this annoying bird clock in the kitchen that every hour gave a different bird call. And it was nice over the years to remember the cardinal and the robin and the song sparrow and those sorts of things, birds that we hear. The other morning, probably a week and a half ago, I just happened to look up at the clock as we were having breakfast, and I saw the second hand move the last time. It moved and it stopped. And I put a new battery in it. It always worked before. It didn't work this time. I put in another new battery. I thought, well, maybe that one was bad. It didn't work. Again, I tried several. It is broken. It's gone. That was a beautiful gift given to me by my three daughters for my 25th anniversary, I think it was, or my 50th birthday or something. I think it was my 50th birthday. And now I'm 76. It's worked for 26 years. And I can't blame my daughters. They gave me a fine gift, but it's gone. It is gone. Well, anyway, eternal life is not like that. Well, our second question is, what is the standard of holiness? And the answer is God himself. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. He is infinite in holiness. That is, he's perfect in goodness and righteousness. Do you measure up? You do not. You need Christ. God does not say, be holy according to community standards of decency. He does not say, be holy according to the standards of such and such church. He does not say, be holy in the eyes of your mother. Rather, he says, be holy, for I am holy. This is his perfect, inflexible standard. This is the standard that you must meet at the final judgment at the last day if you want to enter heaven. This is the standard that only Christ measures up to. In the words of Scripture, quoting that Scripture once again, for such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, Hebrews 7:26. Thirdly, consider, can I earn salvation for being holy? Hear our text again, and you shall be holy men to me. You shall not eat meat torn by beasts in the field. You shall throw it to the dogs. Notice that this command has both moral and ceremonial elements in this one command. The moral law is permanent and binding upon all, for it is rooted in the very character of God himself, who is unchanging. It is also written upon the heart of every human being, every man. Every human being knows intuitively that he must measure up to God's moral law. Now, the ceremonial element, not to eat meat torn by wild beasts, is no longer binding with the coming of Christ. It has gone the way of the animal sacrifices, the way of a central sanctuary, and the Levitical priesthood. It is no longer binding on men. However, I doubt if too many of us would line up at a butcher shop to buy meat advertised as being torn by wild, ravenous beasts. We would eat that only if we were starving and there were no other option. One of the recurring themes that we have seen in our study in the Book of the Covenant is that these ceremonial and judicial ordinances frequently contain moral elements that continue to be binding. We need to look for these. And here is one. Be holy men unto me. But back to our question, can I earn salvation by being holy? Here is God's eternal, unchanging word, men of holiness ye shall be to me. This standard is not attained by conforming to a standard of dress or behavior. It requires absolute perfection, both inward and outward. Perfection all through life, with nary a mess up. If you sin even once in thought, word, or deed, you have failed to measure up to God's standard of absolute holiness. A grade of 99% will not do. A perfect score of 36 on the ACT test, formerly known as the American College Test, will not get you into heaven. It might get you into Harvard, but it won't get you into heaven. At the beginning of this sermon, I stated that Christ, our great high priest, is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Again, Hebrews 7:26. This text of Holy Scripture, given by inspiration of God, declares that Christ is holy. That is said without any question whatsoever. Christ is categorically declared to be holy, not partly holy, not mostly holy, not holy in some particular respect. Holy, just holy. Christ is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from Scripture. I'm sorry, separate from sinners. Christ is holy. End of discussion. If you think that you are holy, then are you willing to state that you measure up to Christ? That you are as perfect as Christ is? If you think your life and record are as flawless as Christ's, then you are full of pride. As a minister of Christ, I beg you, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. To declare yourself to be holy when Scripture says you're not is the height of pride. It is the sin of the devil himself, described in Isaiah. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation in the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights and clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Isaiah 14. Verses 12 and following. The devil says, I will be like the Most High. The born-again soul says, I am deeply conscious of my sins and my absolute need of the holy, harmless, and undefiled Christ. I have no hope of heaven without him. God says, be holy, for I am holy. Holiness is the family likeness. If by faith God is your Father and you are his child, then you want to be holy because your heavenly Father is holy. You want to bear the family resemblance. If you are born again, if your sins have been washed away by the precious blood of Christ, if you have received the new nature that loves holiness and righteousness and desires at every moment to please God, your heavenly Father, then you bear the family resemblance and give evidence that you belong to the God of heaven. Practice holiness in the company of his people, in obedience to God, who says, men of holiness to me, ye shall be. Amen. Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we know that none of us measures up. That's the one thing we all have in common. We're so thankful that Christ measures up. How we need his righteousness. Lord, we do thank you that if we are trusting in Christ, the Bible assures us that God has begun a new work in us. Lord, we pray that you will continue to do that work, continue to perfect us in holiness. We pray, Lord, that the fruit of holiness would continue to ripen and mature and develop and be evident in each one of our lives. Lord, we pray that you will deliver us from the delusion that somehow we can merit heaven on our own. Thank you for Christ, the Holy One, the forerunner who has gone before us. Thank you, Lord, that he is our only hope of heaven. Help us, Lord, to look to him in faith. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn in our hymnals now to hymn 193.